Syed Hussain, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell me what's going on at the Central East Correctional Center in Lindsay, Ontario?
So the Central East Correctional Center is a maximum security prison in Ontario. So it's a provincial prison that the federal government has rented to hold, to jail immigration detainees. So these are immigrants who have no charges, who have no trial pending, who have been jailed for the purposes essentially of carrying out deportation. But in most cases, these are men who have been in jail, at least in one case that we shared of Kashif Ali, for 12 years. So no trial, no charges. The government says we're going to deport them, but they're being jailed essentially indefinitely. And so for the third time this year, last Monday, a week ago today, they began to refuse food, and they are hunger striking to call for an end to indefinite detention, specifically for a 90-day limit on detentions pending deportations.
Now, the government has announced that it's going to spend $138 million to improve its detention facilities. What do you say to that?
So, I mean, the government is basically spin doctoring. So at the last hunger strike, which ended on July 1st, Canada Day, the government used that as an opportunity to announce for essentially renovation and construction of new prisons in Vancouver and in Laval in Quebec. Now, neither of these prisons are, of course, the ones that the immigration detainees in Ontario are talking about. So that's one thing. Secondly, the key issues are maximum security imprisonment. That isn't, the issue is not the conditions of the prisons. It is that Canada has no laws, no regulations, and no policies that bar the imprisonment of children, of adults, of families, without charges or trial. So in this case, also indefinitely. So most countries around the world, if they do detain people, they have a limit. If you can't be deported within a certain time, you're released. Canada has no such limit. So the key issues that the immigration detainees raised are lack of legislative oversight, lack of judicial review. So immigration is one of the few areas of law where you do not have your day in court. So these men cannot appeal their cases to the federal court or to any court, really. And, of course, the fact that they're being held in maximum security imprisonment across the country. So the government's plans in no way respond to the very real concerns that immigration detainees are raising and have been raising for 3 years. The first hunger strike was in September of 2013. And so this is just spin, and it's not truthful, it's dishonest, it's distracting, it doesn't deal with the core issues. And the government needs to meet directly with immigration detainees who are hunger striking again and end the lies. 15 people have died in immigration detention, 15 since 2003, just in the month of March, and that's under this current government. Not a single penny that's being announced in terms of these changes will slow those deaths down, much less stop them. So this is a distraction, and it's, and no one is fooled.
Tell me about some of these detainees that you are in daily contact with them, as I understand.
Yeah, so I'll give you one example. Kashif Ali, who's from Ghana, he came to Canada in the mid-80s, so he's 50 years old. He's got a 27-year-old daughter in Canada, so he spent the vast majority of his life in the country. He was a refugee claimant, he's a refugee asylum seeker, and he was placed in immigration detention in the 90s, and he was there for 2 years, and then the Canadian government essentially forged documents and deported him to Ghana. When he arrived in Ghana, the Ghanaian government was like, these are forged documents by the Canadian government. So they imprisoned him for 10 months and then returned him to Canada. So he came back. He was in prison then for another 3 years, right? At the end of the 3 years, the government's like, fine, we cannot deport you. And so they released him. But they released him without work permit, so he had no ability to work, without any papers, social assistance, any documentation, right? And so he was just out, but without any support system. And so he ended up 6 or 7 years later, being arrested on some small criminal charge. And then they placed him back in immigration detention. So now he's been in immigration detention for 7 years, right? So he's been in detention for a total of 12 years without charges or trial. And then on top of that, 10 years in Ghana. This man cannot be deported. There is no reason to jail him. The government should be releasing him immediately, and they should be releasing all of these other men, and it should be placing a limit so that immigration officials don't just jail people, throw them into a hole, and throw away the key. And so when speaking to him, he talks about, not being able to sleep at night, being very sick, separated from his family, the psychological trauma that comes from essentially living in limbo. And, you know, he says repeatedly, if they can deport me, deport me. I don't want to be sitting in jail forever, which is what's happening. There is no end in sight. And so this is an abusive system, and it comes from a lack of ability for poor racialized people, in the case of the people we work with, largely black men, who are being denied basic rights and services, but not being given permanent residency status, and then being jailed indiscriminately.
What do you say to people who say, you know, we need to be able to detain people because some of these people are not going to show up for their deportation hearing, will disappear into the woodwork, and we'll never find them?
I mean, so the problem is that if we, for how long, right? The assumption, you begin with the assumption that deportation hearings are possible, right? At what point do you say that deportation is not possible? Is it 12 years? I would say. So in most of the world, there is a limit on detention spending deportations. These people cannot be deported. We need to understand that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, then we also have to address the question of, should people be deported? In a large number of cases, you know, if these men were rich, they would be able to get immigration status in the country. You know, if someone spent half their lives in Canada or more, I mean, there was a friend of ours who was deported, who came here at the age of 7 and was deported at the age of 42, right? At what point do you say that someone's actually from here and shouldn't be extricated from their family, sent to a place where they don't speak the language, don't have any resources? So we have to begin by understanding that the immigration system is broken, and so many people who are facing deportation shouldn't be deported in the first place. But also the fact that they're being jailed pending deportation is a pure lie, as goes with all of the examples I've given today.